flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon. My name is Rich Orris. I am a senior home consultant with Mosby Building Arts and your host of Ride at Home with Rich. Thanks for tuning in today and sharing your Saturday with me, your Valentine's Day weekend with me right here. And welcome to my home. Yes, the place where I am most comfortable talking with you about your home. So thanks for joining me today. And for the next hour, it's all about you and your home. You can call in, ask me any question you may have about anything around your home or remodeling your home. The number you need, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. Do not hesitate, because time flies when you're having fun, and this hour, it goes by so quick. It's your hour, and we'll be gone before you know it. So again, give us a shout, 314-241-9797. And we got a great show for you today. I'll have my Ride at Home hack as usual in the middle of the hour, and I have some information about why the government is trying to take away your gas stove. Yes, we're gonna want to have some conversations about this right here. And I've got more information about the cause of some recent floods in Berkeley, outright little local flood thing in some basements, and how we can help prevent that from happening again. And then, if we still have time, we can touch on some upcoming home remodeling and kitchen remodeling trends for 2020. It's a brand new year. It's a brand new decade. We got a lot of information and a lot of things going on, you know, in the next year, and a lot of information on that. So stick with me today for all of that. But don't forget, I'm your man right here for the next hour. You can call in. My question for you today is, do you cook with gas, a gas stove? And what would you do if the government took that away from you? How would you cook? Join me in this conversation right here. Phone lines are open, 314-241-9797 9797. And I did want to touch on some of the things going on around Mosby, because we do have coming up pretty quickly, we have our next seminar. We have an exteriors by Mosby seminar that is all about windows, doors, siding. And it is on March 7th, 2020 at the Pella Showroom out in Chesterfield Airport Road. It's 17702 Chesterfield Airport Road. It begins on that Saturday at 10:30. You can email us at events@mosby.com or just give us a call to register at 314-909-1800. But so I'm going to jump right into this this story about, you know, what the what a lot of local government cities and stuff are doing to try and ban gas in basically a new construction. So there is a big article about this, basically saying no more fire in the kitchen is basically the headline. You know, cities are banning natural gas in homes, and they're trying to do this to save the planet. It's a global warming kind of issue. I'll bet we can all probably guess where this generated and who was the first to do any of this. But yeah, there's 13 cities. There's one entire county in California, and then there's a town in Massachusetts, and they've all enacted, you know, new zoning codes that are encouraging and or requiring that all the new construction be all electric, get rid of gas altogether if they can. So this is a big deal for people that cook with gas. I have a lot of clients, about 35% of residential homes cook with gas, and the ones that do absolutely love their gas cooktops. They love cooking with gas, the speed, the control, the low, the high, the whole thing. And but we've got all these areas now that are going and, you know, they're starting these new zoning codes that some are just giving incentives to builders to go all electric, and others are actually starting to require that they only do electric. In Massachusetts, they were the first ones that actually included remodeling in with it. So they put in there any major gut remodeling, you cannot bring gas into that project when you're doing a major remodel like that. So they're encouraging everybody to switch over. And I don't know, you know, personally, I'm not the scientist. I haven't studied the facts, so I'm not here to kind of say they shouldn't be doing this, because quite frankly, this may be what we need. This may be the best thing ever for all I know. I don't know exactly, you know, everything going on, and I don't have the proof whether it's hurting or not hurting the environment, but I know it's just a big deal to our clients. And as this moves in more towards St. Louis, we're going to have a lot of people that are like, whoa, I want my gas. What in the world am I going to do? And there are some, you know, facts out there that, you know, of natural gas in our country, you know, natural gas produces about 33% of all the carbon dioxide emissions. And they're saying that's what, you know, causes the whole greenhouse effect and climate change and all of that. So, you know, being if that's true, then maybe this is a good thing to do. And maybe it's truly what we need to start changing, you know, how we use energy and what we do to stay sustainable here on our planet. And that's awesome, you know, but there's a lot of people that do this, and they're going to, you know, really start wondering, what in the world am I going to do? So in California, so the county in California that did this actually, and the governor out in California, and, you know, a lot of things start east and west coast, and we all know they work in towards us. You know, they've actually signed in like a bill to say they're going to, you know, work towards an effort by 2045 to just have everything cut out and to be, you know, no gas and on a different, you know, type of electric or type of energy. And there are some things in there right now, because there's also things that we do with gas, like, you know, generators and things like that, that, you know, backup generators, large facilities for a lot of hot water, or, you know, medical facilities, medical offices, things like that, that really need gas. So, you know, there's a lot to play into this. So in the next thing I want to touch on when we get back from our first break here is, what can you do and what is the answer for you as a homeowner as far as not keeping your gas, but what's the answer in going electric and how can you cook and, you know, what works out for you in that respect. So we're going to get into our first break here, and I want to remind everybody, jump in on this. Tell me what you think about this even happening, or ask any other question about your home, 314-241-9797. We're right here for you, and we'll be right back. All right, we are back. Like I said before, rolling right along. We're going to get through this. If you got anything for me, if you cook with a gas stove and you don't know what you'd do without that, call me and we can discuss the solution with you. 314-241-9797. This is kind of, you know, something that's had to happen eventually, you know, that if this is truly global warming, if we truly have all these problems and all these emissions, you know, we're going to have to do it even on a bigger scale than that. But, you know, so there's a lot of places. So there's about 140 U.S. cities that have committed to, you know, transitioning this stuff in, you know, over the next so many years and stuff. So New York and Hawaii and Colorado, Maine, they're all into this conversation with everybody about, what do we do? How do we handle it? You know, how do we get stuff done? And of course, you know, if, when you talk to the natural gas company, so for the natural gas industry, this, you know, is just a direct threat to them and their surviving and all of that. But, you know, when you look at their studies, they're kind of saying, well, you know, if you go all electric, you're going to end up paying between $750 to about $910 more a year in energy-related cost because of not having, you know, natural gas come to your home. But, you know, for here, for us, for our homes and for how we live and work and cook and everything that we do, and I'm talking to people, you know, all the time, and I'm telling you right now, if I told them, you know, we're going to remodel your kitchen, but we can't go back with the gas stove, then I think a lot of them might actually not remodel their kitchen because they just feel that, you know, strongly about that. Get your hands off my gas range. You know, this is what I'm used to. This is what I love. But if you, you know, look at going all electric, you know, fundamentally, as fundamentally attached as people might be to cooking with the flame, the induction stoves, you know, are really, they really work well, and they're coming through. They're making a great big headway here, and you know, and we've had plenty of people that, you know, clients of ours as we remodel their kitchen, because we, you know, another thing we get is a lot of people that used to have the gas and then they move and now they're electric and they're remodeling their kitchen and they're like, I need to get a gas line, I need to get a gas range, and then we take them out, we show them induction. They can actually show you how it works, how it cooks, you know, things like that, and really how great it is. So, you know, on an induction cooktop, you can be very gentle and you know, have those low temperatures and melt butter, chocolate, or you can have it just like a flame, you know, very powerful, where you know, the one unit we were looking at brings 48 ounces of water to a boil in under 3 minutes, which I got to tell you, my cooktop's electric. It is not induction, and it takes well over 3 minutes to get water boiling without a doubt on that electric cooktop. So it does, you know, work a lot better in these scenarios and everything. It functions more like gas when you cook with it. They've been popular in Europe for a very long time with these induction cooktops. There's a lot of electrical, you know, appliances and stuff over there. They don't have a lot of, you know, gas over there. They go with all electric in most of their stuff. So, you know, and kind of how this works when you look at one of these induction cooktop ranges, you know, it's an electromagnetic energy It basically directs the energy directly to the pot or the pan. So that's what really makes it so efficient, and it's a lot safer than an open flame in your house. It's way cooler. You know, it cools down. It's cool to the touch almost immediately from taking, you know, a hot pan off of it. So that temperature separation is kind of all in the pan. I've never tried this. I don't have one of these, but I have heard from people that if you're making like a big pot of, you know, spaghetti sauce, you know, stuff like that, that might spill over or boil over, you can literally put down a towel over that range, put that pot on there and literally heat up that pot, cook that food, cook that spaghetti sauce, anything that splashes over literally lands on a towel and you throw it in the wash for a super easy cleanup. So there are actually advantages, you know, to this induction cooktop and in going, you know, all electric like that. So, you know, it could be a very good thing for us to do this. And one of the disadvantages is that you do need a certain type of pot or pan. So because it is a magnet, so you need steel or iron, you know, bottoms on your pan that will actually, you know, heat up from the magnets. So that's, you know, a downside that ends up costing a little bit more when you get your new range. You get, you know, most people are buying new pots and pans and everything. But if it truly is, you know, if this stuff is true, and like I said, I am absolutely no scientist. I don't understand green gas and all the carbon stuff. And I truly, my knowledge of that is about as close to zero as it gets. But if it's true and it's really, then this is definitely a direction that we should and need to head, I would say, you know, in making our whole planet better. So, you know, definitely think about that. So the next time, like if you do cook on gas and, you know, you're getting your kitchen remodeled or you do need new appliances and stuff, check out that induction and see how it is. It's amazing how some of these newer appliances work and cook. And, you know, there's some super, super high-end stuff where I've seen ovens that literally, from start to finish, from the time you decide that you would like a frozen pizza, or your kid says, hey, can you cook us a frozen pizza? Literally, from the time you turn that oven on to the time you pull it out and cut it up for them is about 3 minutes. It's a preheat everything. It is amazing what some of these new appliances could do. So it's worth seeing and kind of checking out and, you know, seeing what's going on with them for sure. And then maybe you might be one that's saying, you know what, let's get ahead of the game and let's switch from gas to electric instead of electric to gas and, you know, maybe make the environment a better place. So again, I kind of ask you, what say you, if you have an opinion on this or if you have anything going on around your house, feel free to give me a call, ask any questions, 314-241-9797, or if you're far away listening online, 866-455-9797. Phone lines are wide open. And, you know, another little interesting story I wanted to touch on is out in Berkeley, you know, we had, it was on the news about a week and a half ago, there we had some basement floods. There was about four or five houses that a sewer backed up and some basements actually flooded. And when your basement does that with sewer, it is just a horrible thing. And it is so hard to get through and such a mess. And looking at, you know, the causes of what's going on with that, you know, and how that happens and everything. So when MSD came out and cleared out the line, and then they checked into the line and they camera scoped the line and they cleaned everything out, and basically what they found was grease and flushable wipes, and it's an 8-inch water main is where this blockage happened, which is a good size pipe. So it's kind of amazing that, you know, that stuff would even clog up in there. But when you get that grease and stuff around those pipes, and then, you know, those what they call so-called flushable wipes, They really just, they're not biodegradable. They do not break down like toilet paper does. And they're just really not good for our pipes, for our water treatment systems and the plants and the stuff that's trying to filter all this out and change all of this. So it's just not a great thing to use. And when they interviewed one of the guys from MSD that's on that project, Clear, they have, you know, he kind of looked at it and said, there's a lot of products out there and they're all marked as being flushable, and it's kind of deceiving, you know, to the general public, I feel. But, you know, his quote was, as a matter of fact, many of them say, you know, they're flushable, but they're really not flushable. And what MSD would advise, the only truly, truly flushable wipe is toilet paper. And that is the only thing that you should be using and flushing, which can bring on a whole new conversation on bidet seats and things like that, that are much, much better, that are much, much cleaner and safer and work really well. And, you know, we are installing a lot of those, you know, at Mosby Building Arts more and more every day. You know, when we remodel bathrooms and everything, it is really a big thing. And, you know, one of the things MSD is looking for is trying to, you know, figure out where this stuff came from. And, you know, all of the big cities and municipalities and stuff that are having this issue, you know, are, they're all going to start raising rates and bills and stuff like that in order to pay for the millions of dollars we're dishing out, you know, because of issues with these flushable wipes. So get a bidet or stick with your toilet paper if you can. So we got to get into a break here, but got a couple people on the line we can get back into when we get back. And if you've got anything, give me a shout, 314-241-9797, and we will be right back. All right, we are back. We are here to have nothing but a good time, right? And we got the phone lines just kind of lit up over here, so I'm going to get straight to a couple of these calls. And I got Rick on the line there. That Rick, I will pick you up during the next break because you had a question you wanted to ask off air. So if you can hang on, I will get to you. But I'm going to start out with Debbie here from St. Charles. Debbie, are you with us? You there, Debbie? Okay. Can you hear me, Debbie? All right. We're going to put Debbie on hold, and we're going to go to Marcy on line two. Marcy, you have a question for us?
Yes, I do.
Hey, thanks for calling in. What do you got going on?
We have a bit of a controversy in our area. This is Sullivan, Missouri, in reference to running a garbage disposal with greasy stuff in it with hot water or cold water. I believe cold water because it'll break it down before it hits the pipe.
Wow, that's a good question because honestly, I don't know. I've never heard anything about that, and I really don't know anything about that. In thinking about grease,
well, you mentioned all of the grease in the Berkeley.
Oh yeah. Definitely a lot of grease in there is what, you know, the primary thing is it gets around those pipes and then everything starts sticking to it.
I always run it with cold water and lots of soap, and I don't know if that's the right thing to do. People tell me, no, I should be running it with hot water, but someplace along the line, it's going to solidify.
Well, that's what I would say is thinking of it theoretically of, you know, when grease gets cold is when it'll, you know, kind of start to form a solid and stick and do all that. So if I were like just doing a flip a quarter guess, I would guess the hot water would be better because it would get it further down the pipe before that happened. But the real advice I would give everybody is try and put as little as grease down there as possible.
I mean, I agree on that one, but you do get the grease going down there.
But I don't know if cold or hot water would be any better or not. And if there's, you know, I definitely invite everybody out there listening to kind of this big, you know, we've got this big group of people that if there's somebody out there that has read up on this or knows about this or,
you
know, studied
on
this.
If you've got a really good plumber out there.
yeah, a really good plumber that's been doing this for like 45 years that knows if one way is truly better than the other. Because, you know, my hot water theory might do the exact opposite and say, yeah, it'll get it further down the pipe, but it'll get it to that 8-inch pipe that then backs up four
and
or five houses.
And it's going to be cold. Yeah, yeah. It'll be cold in there, and it's going to start. I don't know. I'm asking you, the pro.
Yeah. And that's something, you know what, we'll have to think about and maybe do some research on. And if we don't get a caller calling in with some advice on that, and I would invite anybody, if you know or have some, you know, studied answers on that, give us a call and let us know, 314-241-9797. But, you know, and if not, maybe it's something I can, you know, study up on a little bit and see if there's...
I'd sure like to know the answer to it.
...theories out there. So, yeah, we'll look into it either way. And I appreciate the call, Marcy. That's a interesting question and definitely something worth doing some research on. So have a good day, okay?
You too. Thank you very much for your service.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thanks for calling in. So I'm going to try and get back to Debbie here. Debbie, can you hear me now? Are you with us? Hey, Debbie? Yeah, I don't... Debbie, you're going to have to try and call back in or something, because we're not hearing anything from you. So if you're out there... give us a shout back in and we'll get your question answered for sure. So for now, I want to get into my hack here as promised, because I jumped on a couple calls there and kind of missed the perfect window, but I always want to try and get to the callers first. So again, if you have anything for me, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. But for now, I want to go over some surprising places that you might find mold in your home. And, you know, everyone knows, you know, mold grows on drywall and inside of walls. And, you know, I thought maybe it'd be helpful to kind of think about some of the other places, you know, that attract mold and where you may find that in your home. And just, you know, you may not have realized that it could be happening. And, So the first one on the list is underneath the sink. You know, mold thrives in warm, moist, and dark environments. And, of course, underneath most kitchen and bathroom sinks, if you have a cabinet in the bathroom, you know, is exactly that area. So check these areas for condensation, for plumbing leaks, for wet, you know, pipes dripping off, water onto the floor. You can clean these areas with hydrogen peroxide or a bleach solution to kind of help clean it all out and everything. But a really super one that I see all the time that is surprising to most people is inside your file cabinets. So paper is constructed from wood pulp, and it's an organic feast thing for mold spores. Cardboard, paper, all that stuff, mold absolutely loves it. It's very easy to grow on that. So, you know, you don't have to have a leak also to create these problems. So if you have a high humidity in your house, even at any given points, it can get damp and start to produce this mold. So think about all the paper products that you store, maybe that you haven't, you know, even gone to for a year or two or more, you know, in your attic, in your basement. Think about any cardboard boxes, books, old records that have the cardboard covers. Everybody's got them, stored them. They don't want to get rid of them, but, you know, that's all paper products. And with any moisture, mold starts growing right away. Another area is around your boilers and water heaters. Think about the air mixture, the warm air from your furnace or your boiler or your hot water heater, and then mixing with cold air infiltrating in. And that's why you always have mold around there. So check in around there. Another big one is potted plants. So if you have a lot of potted plants around, and maybe they're in rooms that you just don't go into that much, and you just, you know, so think about the soil in there in maybe changing that soil out after you've been watering these things for a year or more, and you know, you've got this great plant. And part of the issue is you don't always notice because it comes on kind of slow. So you might not feel or smell it because it gradually, you know, started getting worse. So maybe have someone else, you know, take a look or sniff around your potted plants and see if there's any kind of moldy smell, and just consider changing that. All right, we are back. We are here to have nothing but a good time, right? And we got the phone lines just kind of lit up over here. So I'm going to get straight to a couple of these calls. And I got Rick on the line there. That Rick, I will pick you up during the next break because you had a question you wanted to ask off air. So if you can hang on, I will get to you. But I'm going to start out with Debbie here from St. Charles. Debbie, are you with us? You there, Debbie? Okay. Can you hear me, Debbie? All right. We're going to put Debbie on hold, and we're going to go to Marcy on line two. Marcy, you have a question for us?
Yes, I do.
Hey, thanks for calling in. What do you got going on?
We have a bit of a controversy in our area. This is Sullivan, Missouri, in reference to running a garbage disposal with greasy stuff in it with hot water or cold water. I believe cold water because it'll break it down before it hits the pipe.
Wow, that's a good question because honestly, I don't know. I've never heard anything about that, and I really don't know anything about that. In thinking about grease,
so you mentioned all of the grease in the Berkeley.
Oh yeah. Definitely a lot of grease in there is what, you know, the primary thing is it gets around those pipes and then everything starts sticking to it.
I always run it with cold water and lots of soap, and I don't know if that's the right thing to do. People tell me, no, I should be running it with hot water, but someplace along the line, it's going to solidify.
Well, that's what I would say is thinking of it theoretically of, you know, when grease gets cold is when it'll, you know, kind of start to form a solid and stick and do all that. So if I were like just doing a flip a quarter guess, I would guess the hot water would be better because it would get it further down the pipe before that happened. But the real advice I would give everybody is try and put as little as grease down there as possible.
I mean, I agree on that one, but you do get the grease going down there.
But I don't know if cold or hot water would be any better or not. And if there's, you know, I definitely invite everybody out there listening to kind of this big, you know, we've got this big group of people that if there's somebody out there that has read up on this or knows about this or, you know, studied on this.
If you got a really good plumber out there.
yeah, a really good plumber that's been doing this for like 45 years that knows if one way is truly better than the other. Because, you know, my hot water theory might do the exact opposite and say, yeah, it'll get it further down the pipe, but it'll get it to that 8-inch pipe that then backs up four
and
or five
gonna
houses.
And it's going to be cold. Yeah, it'll be cold in there and it's going to start. I don't know. I'm asking you, the pro.
Yeah. And that's something, you know what, we'll have to think about and maybe do some research on. And if we don't get a caller calling in with some advice on that, and I would invite anybody, if you know or have some, you know, studied answers on that, give us a call and let us know, 314-241-9797. But, you know, and if not, maybe it's something I can, you know, study up on a little bit and see if there's...
I'd sure like to know the answer to it.
...theories out there. So, yeah, we'll look into it either way. And I appreciate the call, Marcy. That's a interesting question and definitely something worth doing some research on. So have a good day, okay?
You too. Thank you very much for your service.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thanks for calling in. So I'm going to try and get back to Debbie here. Debbie, can you hear me now? Are you with us? Hey, Debbie? Yeah, I don't... Debbie, you're going to have to try and call back in or something because We're not hearing anything from you. So if Debbie, if you're out there, give us a shout back in, and we'll get your question answered for sure. So so for now, I want to get into my hack here as promised, because I jumped on a couple calls there and kind of missed the perfect window, but I always want to try and get to the callers first. So again, if you have anything for me, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. But for now, I want to go over some surprising places that you might find mold in your home. And, you know, everyone knows, you know, mold grows on drywall and inside of walls. And, you know, I thought maybe it'd be helpful to kind of think about some of the other places, you know, that attract mold and where you may find that in your home. And just, you know, you may not have realized that it could be happening. And so the first one on the list is underneath the sink. You know, mold thrives in warm, moist, and dark environments. And, of course, underneath most kitchen and bathroom sinks, if you have a cabinet in the bathroom, you know, is exactly that area. So check these areas for condensation, for plumbing leaks, for wet, you know, pipes dripping off, water onto the floor. You can clean these areas with hydrogen peroxide or a bleach solution to kind of help clean it all out and everything. But a really super one that I see all the time that is surprising to most people is inside your file cabinets. So paper is constructed from wood pulp, and it's an organic feast thing for mold spores. Cardboard, paper, all that stuff, mold absolutely loves it. It's very easy to grow on that. So, you know, you don't have to have a leak also to create these problems. So if you have a high humidity in your house, even at any given points, it can get damp and start to produce this mold. So think about all the paper products that you store, maybe that you haven't, you know, even gone to for a year or two or more, you know, in your attic, in your basement. Think about any cardboard boxes, books, old records that have the cardboard covers. Everybody's got them, stored them. They don't want to get rid of them, but, you know, that's all paper products. And with any moisture, mold starts growing right away. Another area is around your boilers and water heaters. Think about the air mixture, the warm air from your furnace or your boiler or your hot water heater, and then mixing with cold air infiltrating in. And that's why you always have mold around there. So check in around there. Another big one is potted plants. So if you have a lot of potted plants around, and maybe they're in rooms that you just don't go into that much, and you just, you know, so think about the soil in there and maybe changing that soil out after you've been watering these things for a year or more, and, you know, you've got this great plant. And part of the issue is you don't always notice because it comes on kind of slow. So you might not feel or smell it because it gradually, you know, started getting worse. So maybe have someone else, you know, take a look or sniff around your potted plants and see if there's any kind of moldy smell, and just consider changing that soil. And the last one on the list is toys, in or on toys, small children's toys. They put them in their mouths. You put them in the bathtub. They get slobbery and dirty. Even the hard latex toys, the little figurine stuff like that, can accumulate bacteria and moisture on them, inside of them a lot. So consider running those toys either through the washing machine or through the dishwasher to kind of clean them and keep them out and, you know, make them safer for your children. We all want that for sure. So hopefully that is something you can go around, hunt around, and make sure that you don't have any hidden mold somewhere around your house. You can find all of these hacks that I do every week on my social media, on Facebook and Twitter. You can go back in 97.1's website and get to the podcast and listen to them there. You can find me Facebook, Rich Orris Mosby. Put that together and get you right to it. Or at Rich Orris on Twitter, and we'll post these hacks every single week for you guys. So hopefully that was good and helpful, and can keep you kind of safe in your environment and get you thinking about the safety of your home and the environment that you're in. Because, you know, condensation is truly a big thing for everybody. And you really got to, you know, monitor. One of the biggest things I see in the winter is, you know, everybody just turns on their dehumidifiers and they said, well, I set it to 40. So I look at their house and they're having issues and I bring in a digital hygrometer and I set it down and I wait a while and we come back to it and their house is at 57% humidity or their basement is or something. And they're like, wow, but I set, you know, I set this humidifier to 40. Well, that is just a number on the setting of how hard that thing's going to work. But most of those units do not actually monitor the humidity in the area. And if they do, they're monitoring just that area and not like everywhere. So if you buy a, you know, humidifier or a dehumidifier that kind of monitors that, it's really only monitoring it right there in that area. So get a digital hygrometer, place them around the house, and find out on different levels of the house, you know, what's going on and do you have, you know, too much humidity? It causes all this moisture and condensation and mold and all these things, you know, going on inside your house. So I want to invite everybody one more time. We're going to get into a break here and give me a shout on any of these topics, 314-241-9797. We can get into some of these. And Debbie, hold the line through the break, and I will get back to you right when we return. All right, we are back. I told you it'd go fast. We are in the final segment. And if you want to get in on this, I've got some information that I can spread out there with what Rick was calling in about. Talk to him between the break there. On the phone for a minute and got Debbie on the line. So we're going to try her one more time and want to invite everybody else out there, 314-241-9797. Get in on this and we'll see what you got going. So for right now, let's try Debbie again. Hey, Debbie, can you hear me this time?
Yes, I can hear you now.
All right, perfect. Hey, sorry it took so long. What do you have going on for me?
Okay, kind of two real quick questions. The first one is I have a house that is covered with a textured tile, and I have a real big problem, like, with getting, you know, like, it's got the little indentations or whatever. I can't get in the little grooves from the textured part, and it's dirty in there, and I can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering about how to clean it. And then the second question out, so you already have it. I heard you saying something about electric stoves versus gas stoves, and mm-hmm. I wanted to know what was your opinion on that. I just purchased a smart electric range.
Oh, did you? Is it an induction range, or is it just electric?
No, it's a smart stove.
Okay.
I think it's induction, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the electric versus gas, I mean, when you talk to chefs and people like that, they are like, it's gas, it's got to be gas. You can control mm-hmm. the temperature so much better, you know, with gas mm-hmm. than electric. And I think a big part of it is the heating up and cooling down time.
Okay.
Of if you want to turn something down on a regular electric stovetop, you got to mm-hmm. kind of pick that time because it takes it a lot longer to actually start cooling down. Where on gas, you turn that flame down, everything's going to start cooling immediately.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. what they really like about that. So that induction does kind of the same thing. If you have induction and it's working on that electromagnetics, if you mm-hmm. take that pot off of there and say the water is literally mm-hmm. boiling and you take that pot and you put it somewhere else, almost immediately that cooktop will be cool because that magnet shuts down and there's no heat on that surface and the pot is actually what's hot. So what most people have told me is that the induction really, once you're used to it, works just as well as the mm-hmm. gas. So, you know, and so in trying to be a cleaner environment and everything, you know, natural gas produces, it said like 33% of the, you know, carbon dioxide emissions and stuff in the United States. So if we could lower that, I can't imagine that not being a good thing to get that lower, you know. So going to electric would be a really good thing. Your tile and your texture tile, I think really what you're going to be looking for is something more of a soaking time of like, you know, use a product like a Lime Away. Might work really well where you spray it on. There's a product out there called Goof Off.
I've got some of that in my laundry room.
That can work really, really well, too. Although that stuff, if you've got the really good kind of oil-based stuff, it will have a lot more smell to it. So you really want to run the fan or really ventilate the, you know, open a window if there's one nearby. Really ventilate for that Goof Off. But I think you're going to be kind of like the soaking time is what's going to help you the best.
Yeah.
You know, and is get it wet, get it soaked, and then go back to try and clean that off.
And someone told me to rent. There's a machine that you can rent? Some kind of machine to clean tile?
That I'm really not aware of. There are companies out there that clean and reseal grout and stuff like that. And I would imagine if there's a machine, it's something to do with steam, you know, because the heat and the soaking time is really what's going to help you. So use as hot of water as possible to get it kind of wet and then, you know, soak it with some good Lime Away or the Goof Off, something like that. Let it sit for 10 or 15 minutes and then kind of start, you know, maybe scrubbing with like a fine toothbrush or something like that to try and get inside those grooves. So,
All righty. Thank you.
Perfect. Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in. I'm glad that we got it all worked out and got you on the line there. So let's go to Jared, you got a question for us?
Well, I was going to say that I work for a company. It's Foundation Recovery Systems, and we actually sell a dehumidifier that has remote sensors that you can place around your house. And so the dehumidifier can actually also be ducted into your air conditioner. So it, you know, gets the dry air around the house, and then also it can have its own return. And so, you know, if people want to have them in a crawl space or in a basement that's an unfinished area, you can duct it to the finished area. So you're actually getting the, you know, all the way around the house, not just in one area.
Yeah. No, Jared, that is really cool. And, you know, because what I'm always, the two biggest things, one that I'm always seeing and one that I'm always advising is I always see and I talk to people and, you know, they go, well, I got a humidifier on my furnace and I turn it on 40. So why is the humidity in my house not 40? You know, and they just assume that that's how that stuff works, and that's what that setting means. Yeah. So, and I'm always advising, put those dehumidifiers on each level of the house. Put one in the basement, one on the first floor, put it in the second floor if you got it. Find a common area and watch the levels, because you may be, you know, wetter down low and drier up high. And so if you get your basement to 45, and that's ideal, you might be getting your second floor to 30. And that's not ideal. So, yeah, I love those sensors around the house. That's an awesome thing.
One of the main problems with, you know, a cheap store-bought dehumidifier, and some are better than others, but a lot of them, they're rated for, you know, 40 or 50 pints a day, and that's in a perfect environment. So that's in 70 degrees inside a controlled environment.
Yeah.
And when you have Missouri and, you know, these kinds of humidity levels, you know, they may say 40, but they drop down to 15 a day. Yeah. And you need a machine that's actually going to do what it needs to do and be able to test the air periodically and then not just run just because it's on. It needs to only run if it can keep up and take care of your problem.
Yep. No, Jared. So, hey, I appreciate the call. I think that's that's a great thing. So,
thank you.
Thanks for calling in. You're very welcome, and appreciate you listening too. And for everybody out there, I really, you know, that's a great thing, and I love the fact that I'm not alone in this, and we've got, you know, smart people out there listening from all around that have, you know, solutions to help out. I wish I was the know-all, end-all answer of everything. But if I told you I was, then you should not let me back next Saturday. But we do the best we can, and I appreciate the help from our listeners with some solutions like that. And I love the fact that, you know, there's a unit out there now that monitors more than one area of the house for that humidity. So I think everybody's starting to learn and smarten up on what's going on out there. How do we fix it correctly? And, you know, how do we get rid of some of these half fixes that kind of do one thing but don't necessarily help you entirely? So for everybody out there, I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you listening. And we're going to be out of time here, but I want to just I'll talk to everybody next week. Be good to everybody out there, and I'll see you next Saturday. Such a happy time. All right, we are back. I told you it'd go fast. We are in the final segment, and if you want to get in on this, I've got some information that I can spread out there with what Rick was calling in about. Talk to him between the break there on the phone for a minute, and got Debbie on the line, so we're going to try her one more time, and want to invite everybody else out there, 314-241-9797. Get in on this, and we'll see what you got going. So for right now, let's try Debbie again. Hey, Debbie, can you hear me this time?
Yes, I can hear you now.
All right, perfect. Hey, sorry it took so long. What do you have going on for me?
Okay, kind of two real quick questions. The first one is I have a house that is covered with a textured tile, and I have a real big problem like with getting, you know, like it's got the little indentations or whatever. I can't get in the little grooves from the textured part, and it's dirty in there, and I can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering about how to clean it. And then the second question out, so you already have it. I heard you saying something about electric stoves versus gas stoves, and mm-hmm. I wanted to know what was your opinion on that. I just purchased a smart electric range.
Oh, did you? Is it an induction yeah. range, or is it just electric?
No, it's a smart stove.
Okay.
I think it's induction, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so the electric versus gas, I mean, when you talk to chefs and people like that, they are like, it's gas, it's got to be gas. You can control mm-hmm. the temperature so much better, you know, with gas mm-hmm. than electric. And I think a big part of it is the heating up and cooling down time.
Okay.
Of if you want to turn something down on a regular electric stovetop, you got to mm-hmm. kind of pick that time because it takes it a lot longer to actually start cooling down, where on gas, you turn that flame down, everything's going to start cooling immediately.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. what they really like about that. So that induction does kind of the same thing. If you have induction and it's working on that electromagnetics, if you mm-hmm. take that pot off of there and say the water is literally mm-hmm. boiling and you take that pot and you put it somewhere else, almost immediately that cooktop will be cool because that magnet shuts down and there's no
yes.
heat on that
yes.
surface, and the pot is actually
okay.
what's hot. So so what most people have told me is that the induction really, once you're used to it, works just as well as the
mm-hmm.
gas. So,
okay.
you know, and so in trying to be a cleaner environment and everything, you know, gas...
Mm-hmm.
Natural gas produces, it said, like 33% of the, you know, carbon dioxide emissions and stuff
right.
in the United
mm-hmm.
States. So if we could lower that, I can't imagine that not being a good thing to get that lower, you know. So
mm-hmm. okay.
going to electric would be a really good thing. So
okay.
your tile and your textured tile, I think really...
Oh,
what you're going to be looking for is something more of a soaking time of like,
mm-hmm.
you know, use a product like a Lime Away,
might
work really well where you spray it on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a product out there called Goof Off.
I've got some of that in my laundry room.
That can work really, really well too. Although that stuff, mm-hmm. if you've got the really good kind of oil-based stuff, it will have mm-hmm. a lot more smell to it. So you really want to run the fan or really ventilate the, you know, open a window if there's one nearby.
Okay.
Really ventilate okay. for that goof off. But I think you're going to be kind of like the soaking time is what's going to help you the best.
Yeah.
You know, and is get it wet, get it soaked, and then go back to try and clean that off.
Okay. And someone told me to rent. There's a machine that you can rent. Some kind of machine to clean tile.
I'm really not aware of. There are companies out there that clean and reseal grout and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I would imagine if there's a machine, it's something to do with steam. You know,
okay.
that because the heat and the soaking mm-hmm. time is really what's going to help you. So use as hot of water as possible to get it kind of okay. wet, and then, you know, soak it with some good lime away or the goof off, something like that. Let it sit for 10 mm-hmm. or 15 minutes and then kind of start, you know, maybe scrubbing with like a fine toothbrush or something like that to try and get inside okay. those grooves. So,
okay.
All righty.
All righty. Thank you.
Perfect. Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in. I'm glad that we got it all worked out and got you on the line there. So let's go to Jared, you got a question for us?
Well, I was going to say that I work for a company. It's Foundation Recovery Systems, and we actually sell a dehumidifier that has remote sensors that you can place around your house.
That's
and the
fabulous.
Yep, and so the dehumidifier can actually also be ducted into your air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, gets the dry air around the house, and then also it can have its own return. And so, you know, if people want to have them in a crawl space or in a basement that's an unfinished area, you can duct it to the finished area, so you're actually getting the, you know, all the way around the house, not just in one area.
Yeah. No, Jared, that is really cool. And, you know, because what I'm always... The two biggest things, one that I'm always seeing and one that I'm always advising is I always see and I talk to people and, you know, they go, well, I got a humidifier on my furnace and I turn it on 40. So why is the humidity in my house not 40? You know, and mm-hmm. they just assume that that's how that stuff works. And that's what that setting means.
Yeah.
So and I'm always advising put those dehumidifiers on each level of the house. Put one in the basement, one on the first floor, put it in the second floor if you got it. Find a common area and watch the levels because you may be, you know, wetter down low and drier up high. And so if you get your basement to 45 and that's ideal, you might be getting your second floor to 30 and that's not ideal. So yeah, I love those sensors around the house. That's an awesome thing.
One of the main problems with, a cheap store-bought dehumidifier, and some are better than others, but a lot of them, they're rated for, 40 or 50 pints a day, and that's in a perfect environment. So that's in 70 degrees inside a controlled environment.
Yeah.
And when you have Missouri and, these kinds of humidity levels, they may say 40, but they drop down to 15 a day.
Yeah.
And you need a machine that's actually going to do what it needs to do and be able to test the air periodically and then not just run. Just because it's on, it needs to only run if it can keep up and take care of your problem.
Yep. No, Jared. So, hey, I appreciate the call. I think that's a great thing. So,
thank you.
Thanks for calling in. You're very welcome, and appreciate you listening too. And for everybody out there, I really, that's a great thing, and I love the fact that I'm not alone in this, and we've got smart people out there listening from all around that have, solutions to help out. I wish I was the know-all, end-all answer of everything. But if I told you I was, then you should not let me back next Saturday. But we do the best we can, and I appreciate the help from our listeners with some solutions like that. And I love the fact that, there's a unit out there now that monitors more than one area of the house for that humidity. So I think everybody's starting to learn and smarten up on what's going on out there. How do we fix it correctly? And, how do we get rid of some of these half fixes that kind of do one thing, but don't necessarily help you entirely. So for everybody out there, I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you listening. And we're going to be out of time here, but I want to just, I'll talk to everybody next week. Be good to everybody out there, and I'll see you next Saturday. Such a happy time.